From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue this series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, God's Promise Keeps. The text is found in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 1. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. We must not expect to see an immediate reward for all the good we do, nor must we always confine our efforts to places and persons which seem likely to yield us a recompense for our labors. The Egyptian casts his seed upon the waters of the Nile, where it might seem a sheer waste of corn. But in due time the flood subsides, the rice or other grain sinks into the fertile soil, and rapidly a harvest is produced. Let us today do good to the unthankful and the evil. Let us teach the careless and the obstinate. Unlikely waters may cover hopeful soil. Nowhere shall our labor be in vain in the Lord. It is ours to cast our bread upon the waters. It remains with God to fulfill the promise, Thou shalt find it. He will not let His promise fail. His good word which we have spoken shall live, shall be found by us. Perhaps not just yet, but some day we shall reap what we have sown. We must exercise our patience, for perhaps the Lord may exercise it. After many days, says the Scripture, and in many instances those days run into months and years, and yet the word stands true. God's promise will keep. Let us mind that we keep the precept, and keep it this day. In this day of many uncertainties, the political unrest, widespread violence, and moral confusion, people are asking, what is it all about? What does life mean, or does it have any meaning? Thankfully, there is one place where despairing men, women, and young people can find the answers to those questions: the Holy Bible, God's inspired, inerrant word. The Apostle Paul, speaking of the gospel, wrote, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." He was referring to the righteousness that God gives to sinners on the basis of Christ's death on the cross. A medical doctor who found life's answer in Christ has written a brief summary of the central teaching of the Bible in a booklet called The Meaning of Life and the Love of God. In a few clearly written pages, he explains how sinners can find forgiveness and redemption in God's blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For a free copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, and we'll be happy to provide it. As he proceeds with this study of the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns returns to the theme of the principles of divine judgment as set forth in chapter 2 of the epistle. The text is found in verses 6 through 10, which speak of God rendering to every man according to his deeds. In the previous message, we learned that those who seek for the glory of God receive eternal life. But the rest of the passage reveals the awful judgment of those that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness. Their fate is to suffer the wrath of God, which Paul describes as indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil. Now here is Dr. Cairns to introduce this sobering message entitled, "The Just Deserts of Sinners."
Romans chapter 2. We're going to read from verse 6 to verse 10. It starts with the word "who." The reference is to the word "God" at the end of verse 5. So it is, "God will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to to the Gentile. We've been considering these verses, verses 6 through 10, in Romans chapter 2. Last time we were in this portion, we noted a very simple but certainly a very far-reaching statement of truth. The message is that what we do in this life has consequences for all eternity. Now, Paul takes that truth and he applies it to Christians. He applies it to the people of God. People who are saved by grace through faith alone. Yet he says to them, you are going to meet your Savior. You are going to stand before him to give an account of your stewardship. And what you do has consequences. He talks about God's judging his people. He talks about God rendering to his people according to their deeds. As he works this out, he goes on to speak about the unsaved appearing before God and how God deals with them according to their deeds. And yet his language and the way he constructs his sentences are very, very carefully done and chosen. Because how he does this is specifically aimed at teaching that though he deals with saints and sinners each according to their works, yet there is a very basic difference between the cases. God rewards his people. And that was what we were dealing with last time we were in Romans chapter 2. That Christians receive a gracious reward for their good deeds in Christ. It is not that their works merit anything from God. You can't merit a reward. You can't merit grace, because once you merit it, it is no more grace. But God graciously gives his reward to his people. This is a wonderful thing to think about. He finds us dead. Look at Ezekiel 16 and get a picture of how we were when the Lord found us. He finds us dead, polluted in our own blood. He finds us unclean, ungodly, wicked, ill-deserving, undeserving, and hell-deserving. And he comes and he gives us life. He imputes to us the righteousness of Christ to give us a legal title to heaven. And that it's on that ground, from that moment onwards, that he will always deal with us. I was just reading today a beautiful statement by Bishop Hooker, famous hundreds of years ago as a great writer on theology and church matters. And Bishop Hooker, speaking about justifying grace, said that God gives us Christ's righteousness, and from that point on, he deals with us according to the righteousness imputed, and never according to the sins committed. What a beautiful statement of grace. We're saved by grace alone. Even after we're saved, what can we ever do that could possibly measure up to the standards of a holy God? What have we ever done that we can come to God and say, Lord, look at that. Wasn't that perfectly done? Not a thing. But he covers even our doing, our serving by the merits of Christ. He gives us the faith, the power, the grace to do what he tells us to do. Covers our imperfect doing with the merits of his Son. And then he rewards us for doing it. And that's the fullness of grace. It's a glorious truth and a cardinal doctrine of the Christian faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. They that come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. But God does not give a gratuitous reward to sinners. Instead, He repays them. Sinners earn what they receive from divine justice. And that's the second part of the subject of Romans 2, verses 6 through 10 that I want to deal with tonight. This passage generally is a passage that is dealing with the principles of divine judgment. We have seen it's a judgment according to truth. It's a judgment according to righteousness. And now it is a judgment according to works. The Old Testament gives us some commentaries in the general teaching of this passage. Think of Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 9 through 10. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him, and keep His commandments to a thousand generations, and repayeth them that hate Him to their face. To destroy them, He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. You think of the words of Ecclesiastes 3, verse 17. I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked. For there is a time there for every purpose. And for every work, there is a time. I want you to take this to heart. We live in a world where there's everything to blind people to the reality of eternity. We think ourselves so superior to every generation that has ever gone before. We stand in amazement at what we consider the simple-minded, superstitious bent of men, even men of great intellect of former times. We're amazed that a great writer like John Bunyan could possibly believe in demons and hobgoblins. We smile in our superiority. What demented fools. The reality is that because we live in a day of technological advance, when men think they can explain everything by some chemical formula or some mathematical or geometric theorem or something that they have dreamed up in their scientific world, that even life itself, as I heard one great scientist say, is just a chemical equation. We don't need God. We have satisfactorily explained ourselves all the way from a big bang through slimy protoplasm and monkeys and apes to the fools we are today. We don't need God. And even if we need God, one thing we don't need is the judgment of God. And one thing we don't believe in, this is the common wisdom of the day, is that there is a day to stand before a personal creator and judge. This Bible, as we have just read, says there is a time. There is a time, and there is a purpose, and God will judge both the righteous and the wicked. And though they may grow together in the world today, maybe even indistinguishable in church pews today, though the righteous and the wicked, just like the tares and the wheat, may grow in the same field and to the casual gaze may look alike, There is a time and there is a purpose in God Almighty to separate, to judge the one, to judge the other. He will reward his people, but he will give sinners the just deserts of their evil deeds. That's what I want us to think about just for a few moments this evening. And as we do so, I want you to notice that sinners are described in terms that reveal their true state before God. You see, it's always a wonder to me how people who hate God, despise his truth, trample under their filthy feet the blood of Jesus Christ, cast aside the invitations of grace, can mock both law and gospel. So always a wonder to me how they perceive themselves. I've talked to people whose morals would make the morals, maybe I should say, the stench of a skunk smell good. And yet they've said, I'm not a bad person. I've spoken to people whose lives were a cesspool of iniquity. But oh no, I'm not a bad person. How does God speak about sinners? Remember, these are not just the most wicked of sinners. These are the people who are not among the righteous. These are the people who are not among the justified. He calls them first contentious. Verse 8. And then he says that they do not obey the truth, but that they obey unrighteousness. The word contentious is a word actually that's caused quite a bit of contention among linguists and commentators as to its precise meaning. It's according to how you find the etymology of the word. How did the word come to be? How is it constructed? And with different views in that, linguists come to different views as to its meaning. And when they've all thrashed out, really, there's not a great deal of difference in what they're saying. In other words, this is a word that has perhaps a small range of meaning, but within that range, it makes you understand very clearly what God is talking about. The basic term would seem to indicate someone who is taking a partisan stand. And it's a partisan stand against God. It's a word that would indicate an argumentative spirit in rejecting what God has to say. Arguing their cause against God, arguing against the truth of the law, arguing against the truth of the gospel, arguing against the urgency of the invitation, arguing against the reasons to repent, arguing against anything that God's word brings before them. This is the mark of the unconverted, that as soon as they are presented with divine truth, there is something within them that rises up to confront that truth with argument and with rejection. Before I go one step further tonight, let me tell you that I have just given you the tool that will tell you if you're saved or if you're not. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." Christians are not perfect as yet, but there is that within a Christian that naturally opens to the Word of God. He may not understand it all, but there is that in a Christian which says, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Speak to me, Lord." There is nothing more in this world that I would rather hear than hear from God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.